Hey, it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. And I'm Dr. Lisa, and I give a shit. I really do. You know, it's really incredible, like, to see what's going, the war on the arts. It's so funny because people don't even understand, like, the Trump and the Republicans, they don't even understand what they're cutting by funding the arts. Like, it really involves, like, marching bands and bringing opera and just bringing culture to faraway places like small towns outside in the Midwest, which is basically just having people understand each other and will actually help bring our country together. But that as a concept is, like, way too complex for them, I guess. So we'll just be buying more nuclear bombs, which is really, really frightening. Although I do love how all you guys, my peeps, everyone out there is really starting to take charge and get involved in our democracy. So I think we can do it. And not only that, I'm feeling much better about solidarity with my people on the planet. So I'm going to remain optimistic. But this is also a good time to pitch that you guys should donate money to Radio Free Brooklyn, because we're going to all need Radio Free Brooklyn. So if you go to our website, www.radiofreebrooklyn.com, and donate, or you can just donate to this show, Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit, and then I get all the credit for getting you to donate. Anyway, money or not, I love you guys. Thanks for listening. So today is going to be a really interesting day. I have somebody who I have socialized a little bit with. I don't know him very well in a really meaningful way. I have mostly seen him at parties, but he came up to me because he has a lot of shit he wants to discuss. So I think this should be good, and maybe, if I can use the word without offending him, juicy. Colin, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, so this is what you wrote that you said you were going to discuss today,
yeah.
Folks.
Yeah.
Put on your seatbelts, or maybe get a box of tissues. I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
We're going to discuss, Colin, we are going to be discussing your love life for the past 4 years. From being with a dominatrix. You dated a dominatrix?
Yeah, for about 4 months, which was a
catalyst for change. And then you had an open relationship, and you learned a lot of lessons.
Yeah, yes.
In the last 4 years. So we're all going to be sharing in the lessons that Colin has learned. Thank you, Colin.
Yeah.
But before we get started on Colin's path, learning about Colin's path, I just want to get a little intake for everyone who's listening so that we can understand Colin just a little bit. So, Colin, where are you from?
I'm originally from Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up just outside of Denver.
Like a suburban town, small town?
Yeah, it was a small town kind of butted up against the Rocky Mountains.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, small town, like high school, 500 kids?
No, a little bit more. I mean, it was a part of the Denver metro area. So, mm-hmm. But I think the bottom line to take away from my hometown was that it was extremely gorgeous.
And a lot of outdoor sports.
I mean, yeah, Colorado's like the number one fittest state in the union.
Yeah, so. I know. Shout out to my stepson living in Denver.
Holla.
And his girlfriend, who's fantastic.
Yeah, a lot of people moving there right now. They love it.
I know. It's great. We went to visit them.
Yeah.
A few months ago. So, okay, so brothers, sisters?
I have a half-brother and a half-sister.
So what's the parent situation that you grew up with?
Pretty strange. My parents divorced at, like, 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My father remarried, and my mom remains happily single.
Mm-hmm.
So
did your father, did you spend time with both? How was it? Oh, and did you have brothers and sisters? Let's get that out.
Yeah. Well, so my
we already said that. Half brothers. So we need to understand the parents' situation.
Yeah. So my mother had a marriage before the one that I was from, and mm-hmm. Had two siblings, like half siblings from that marriage. And then she remarried my father.
Mm-hmm.
So, Yeah, they're both a lot older than me. I end up relating to older people because of it, I think.
Mm-hmm. How old are you?
I'm 30, actually.
And how old are they?
They are 41 and 43.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then your dad, what happened? He remarried?
Yeah.
Did he have kids?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
Right? See, I was guessing that the half siblings were from them. Interesting.
Yeah.
So.
They remarried at like 60, so.
My father
and my stepmother.
Oh, so. Okay. So they weren't part of the stepmother, was she part of your growing up?
No, this was probably 10 years ago. I had flown the coop at this point. But she's really great. You'd probably like her. She's
probably would.
Yeah, she's an environmental film documentarian.
Ooh,
yeah.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
And then what about your mother's children from the other marriage? Were they around a lot? Was the father ex-husband part of your life, or
man,
how was that?
That's a crazy story. I told a writer my brother's story once, and she said, "Holy shit, that's like a book."
Really?
So, yeah, he's in jail right now. He's never actually been caught for drugs, but everything that he's done has basically resulted from meth. And it's been he's a very handsome, good-looking guy.
As are you.
Oh, well, thank you. But he uses it to his advantage.
You don't?
No. Well, I mean, no.
Now
he's a.
We'll find out. We'll see. About
I consider
that. Okay.
I consider him to be
kidding.
A bit of a con artist, though.
Kidding. Just a joke.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's a con artist, and so was he around growing up then?
You know, in my earlier years, yes.
Is his drug addiction, like, has that caused a lot of strife in your life as well?
Yeah, tremendous.
Huge, right?
Yeah, it's been a...
And what about the other sibling?
Well, my sister...
That's his sister also, right?
Yeah, that's his full sister.
Full-blooded sister,
yeah.
Right.
My heart goes out to her. I love my sister. Mm-hmm. She has muscular dystrophy. So she's in a wheelchair. And she actually lives at 10,000 feet in a little town called Leadville, Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Does she live in like a group home or something?
No, she...
On her own?
She lives on her own.
That's fucking incredible.
You walk
right?
outside her door in the middle of January and there's like 3 feet of snow on the
How
ground.
How does she do it? That's like incredible.
She's like a tough bitch.
Tough bitch.
Yeah. I have so much
wow.
admiration for her. Yeah.
Now there's the inspiration in all this. And so what about their father? How did he get remarried or anything?
Yeah, he did. He was attached to somebody for, oh my God, like 15 years, and they finally pulled the trigger.
Mm-hmm. What was your relationship with him like?
You know, I didn't really know him. I did get to know him some when I was older, just because, you know, in light of helping out my sister often, mm-hmm. we would communicate.
Mm-hmm. But he wasn't really that involved in your childhood.
No, not really.
And so was having a sister with MS, did she live with you part-time, or how did your siblings integrate into your home?
They left the home at an early age, and then I eventually moved with my father. So I had a relationship with my sister, but my brother was to be avoided at all costs.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't really live with, you know, they weren't involved in your childhood very much.
No, I mean, young childhood, but like mm-hmm. mid-childhood teens, only my sister was around.
And then having a sister with MS, did that...
MD.
MD, which is very different.
Yeah.
Muscular dystrophy as opposed to...
facial scapular muscular dystrophy.
Which is like you're born with that.
Yeah, it's genetic.
Where MS can develop. But anyway, so it's very serious, especially in childhood. So... Did that affect you being around somebody who had a disability like that, or
no? I think it gave me compassion. Mm-hmm. My mother was actually a nurse, and so while I was growing up, she would take care of mentally disabled and elderly in her home. So I was sort of around these. Not that she's in that group, but you know, people with some sort of mental disability or something.
So you were you learned your mother was good with that, and you learned how to cope. That's great.
Yeah,
that'll serve you. Serve you well, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
And
then what about your relationship with your father? So you were 9 when your parents split up.
Yeah.
So what's your relationship? How was it And how did you wind up moving in with your dad?
You know, things just, my mom couldn't handle her situation. It was a combination of my brother, the stress from the divorce, mm-hmm. and it just, it was too much for me to take in. Mm-hmm. She was, not that she was abusive, but emotionally, I would say she was.
Hey, that's tough. She's in a tough spot.
Yeah.
But still, absolutely. You're a child. I get it.
Yeah. So, you know, and she came from a broken home. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And so it was better for me to move in with my father. Mm. He was a bit more stoic. Mm-hmm. He was a bit more of like, you know, just a very solid figure.
And he wasn't on the front lines as much, probably.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah. So what did your father do?
My father is a contractor, and then he bought some property like back during the 80s. God bless him.
Mm-hmm.
Wish I had that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the manager of an apartment. So.
Oh, so he supported the family fairly stable?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So where did you go to college?
I didn't.
Uh-huh.
I'm very proud of that, actually.
Me too.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
No, good, especially, you know, if you're a creative person or something, yeah. You don't need that.
I consider myself
bullshit.
An autodidact, so
there you go.
I'm very self-taught.
So, okay, so you went to high school, and then you graduated high school, and then what happened?
I started working for a photographer in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
He was recently named the best photographer in Colorado.
Wow.
So I got lucky, kind of hitched a ride on his coattails. And then also I was a pedicab driver.
Mm-hmm.
And
cool.
we could do a whole show called Pedicab Confessions.
Oh, really?
We won't go off on
well,
that.
Well, you know,
shoot,
you
but...
could pitch that to the station. I think it would be great.
No, those years are behind me.
For you.
I only have about an hour's worth. So.
Yeah. So anyway, how'd you move to New York?
Oh, God. We're getting... We got to go back to 4 years ago, though. But
well, how long have you been in New York?
I have been in New York about 3.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're getting a picture.
Yeah.
All right. So let's hear about what the hell has been going on. 4 years.
Yeah.
You feel, is that a journey that you feel like you're sort of sorting out at the point you're sorting out now?
Have you heard of Saturn return?
Yeah, I have, actually.
Look, I'm not saying I believe in astrology, but let's just talk a little bit about symbolism for a moment.
Okay.
So I was 26, and it was literally, well, I was 25 at the time. But January 1st, 2013, I broke up with my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
We'd gone out with friends, and the next morning she said, look, it's over.
And is this in New York?
This was in Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I looked at her and I started crying and she started crying and we both just knew that it was over.
Mm-hmm. How long had you been dating her?
2 years, 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
Which was
a long time at a young, in your 20s.
Yeah.
She
was a very lovely woman. She was actually from Iran, which I found to be very fascinating.
Yeah.
Sexy.
Hot.
But of course.
Exotic. I get it.
She was a bit kinky as well, which I liked.
Exotic.
You know. Yeah. So,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
I got it.
Yeah.
So, is that where your story kind of starts?
It does. Yeah, that just fueled some really crazy adventures. I hadn't really had many sexual experiences outside of a relationship up until that point. And her and I had been discussing swinging, but we never got to it. And so, like, once I had exited the relationship, I started poking around at swinging. And, you know, we had done all these kinky things, and I wanted to do some of them with other people. And so what happened is I was on a swingers website in Denver, and there was this woman. She was about 9 years older than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I said... I messaged her once, no response, twice, no response, three times, and she got back to me. She's like, well, so I have this friend who I'm teaching to do tantric handjobs.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to come and be a part of my lesson?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the 25-year-old, 26-year-old in me said,
you're like, yeah,
fuck
wow,
yeah.
I'm there, baby.
Yeah,
where?
Yeah.
Tell me, yeah.
It was...
right now.
That was probably, we ended up meeting each other a couple of times before the actual session with her friend.
Uh-huh.
But I can, to recollection, that was probably the best sex I've ever had. It was like dreamy.
And was it just a hand job?
Oh, no. It was like...
A lot more.
It was 5 hours of
whatever.
Yeah.
Stuff. There's a lot you can do. You can get a lot done in five hours.
I had no idea you could kiss two...
Especially in your 20s.
Yeah. I had no idea you could kiss two people at the same time until that day.
Yeah, I can't say I have done that. But let me ask something else.
Mm-hmm.
So you were saying that you hadn't had a lot of sexual experience before your Iranian girlfriend. Now, did she teach you, or was being in a relationship an impetus to learn or experiment more?
Well, I mean, I had sexual experiences. But...
Yeah, we're not saying that, but I mean, like, you know, kinky stuff or however did it expand your vocabulary? Did she expand your vocabulary, or just the relationship being in the relationship itself expand your vocabulary?
Yeah, I think we played off of each other quite well. The Iranian and I had very good sexual chemistry. You know, I mean,
that's good.
Yeah, yeah. We sort of had a running tally on how many places we'd had sex in public, and
nice.
and you know, just the various different explorations that we did together.
Right. Okay. So what happened when you broke up? Like, how did that affect you? Like, do you remember how you felt?
well,
was it a surprise to you? She initiated.
No, it wasn't. I think, you know, one of my biggest problems with her is that I wanted to sort of travel and do spontaneous travel, unplanned travel. And when we talked about this, she would literally start hyperventilating. And, so, you know, there were so many things in my life that I sort of wanted to go out and explore for myself.
So would you say that it was kind of partly because of your age, being that you were hungry for life experiences because you were in line for them as a young man?
Mm-hmm.
So had she had traveled, she's from Iran, she had probably traveled and seen the world quite a bit then.
Yeah.
Like, I'm wondering why... It made her anxious to travel because was she affected by all the travel she'd been through, or did she just like what did she have a need for stability? Like
I don't know. I think travel wasn't the issue. It was just sort of the unplanned travel that bothered her.
What did she do?
She'd graduated with a degree in economics, and then went on to fashion merchandising.
But she was more of maybe a serious businesswoman type more.
I don't know.
Liked organization and control.
No, she was pretty relaxed. I wouldn't say control. It's an interesting point, and I don't want to go too much into this.
Yeah,
bit,
I know, because
but...
we want to hear about the sex and stuff. But it's hard for me to understand exactly.
Yeah.
And it's fine. We'll figure that out further along. But it doesn't immediately make sense why your desire to travel spontaneously.
She was afraid. I think there was a lot of fear of the unknown in her. Not that she wasn't. A very capable individual, but she liked to be planned. She liked to have things laid out, and you know,
just maybe her nature then.
Yeah, that was her style.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, you broke up, and then what happened?
Well, I sort of went on this crazy adventure, and I ended up. I told you I ended up dating and also topping this dominatrix named Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a fascinating woman. She had a degree in creative writing, actually master's in creative writing.
Mm-hmm.
She just finished a book recently, and she's trying to get it published. But you know, I learned. I sort of entered into this relationship with her temporarily for about 4 months, and learned quite a lot about myself. Go ahead.
I'd like to hear more about that. What did you learn from your learn about yourself? Like, how did she enable you to, you know, explore?
Well, I mean, the nitty gritty was she had $60,000 worth of sex toys in her basement, and sort of the
so you had access to a gym that you wouldn't a private gym.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Toys. She was fascinating. And you know, not even to look at her in terms of just sex, like she breathed sexual wisdom. I mean, there was something very distinctly unique that
Was she older than you? A lot older?
She was 9 years older than I was.
But she also seems like somebody who had a, you know, had a real connection to sex.
Yeah.
Probably a visceral kind of, in kind of a very real way.
Like, you know, Basquiat was good at painting. Winston Churchill was good at leading. Like, she was good at knowing and understanding the depths of the human psyche and as it relates to sex. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds like a really interesting woman.
She was amazing. Yeah. We still talk.
Oh, wow. We got to get her on.
Well, she's on the West Coast. She's married. She's got twins now.
That's great. Well, shout out to everyone who's married and has twins. And I know a couple of people. What was like your relationship like? Were you guys... Was she your girlfriend or
no?
You were her top. So what changed or what? How did that affect you? Like, what was that like?
Well, she was kind of in between long-term relationships at the time. So I was sort of this in between. I don't know if you'd say rebound or what. We had something very meaningful.
Were you exclusive?
No. In fact, we had sort of an interesting game. Anytime that she had between times when we would see each other, I would tell her to count the number of orgasms that she'd had. And for every orgasm that she had, I would give her 5 spankings.
Nice.
And
I like that.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good trade.
Yeah, yeah. So she
sounds like a win-win.
Well, I think so. There were definitely a lot of interesting stories there. I don't know how in-depth you want to get into that, but...
Well, as in-depth, I mean, you know, this is not an FCC. I mean, what... So now you're kind of... This is a therapy part. So it's interesting because there's part of you that wants to talk about it in detail.
Yeah.
And we're all ears. And yet there's part of you that feels like you're not quite sure if it's a good idea for you,
or
where's your
wine?
Hesitation?
Are you serving any wine?
I would, but
doesn't go good around the equipment.
I don't know. You know, I mean, we all carry flasks on ourselves in this station. Yeah, it's too bad. But
you didn't give me that
briefing.
I'm
curious about your hesitation.
Well, I mean, it's a. I don't know if there's really necessarily hesitation. I mean,
why don't you tell us some details and then see how you feel? We'll talk about how it felt.
Okay.
You want to try that?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I'd like to start off by, I have a moral to this whole story, but this is definitely the lead up and the build up. And this is definitely a fascinating part of that story.
Okay.
well, you know, I spent... a good number of days with her exploring my own sexuality, and I taught her, and because she was really going through this odd place in her life, I think she wanted to switch for me, and it was just it came very naturally to me.
You mean by switch you mean be submissive?
Yes, correct. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we would talk about her clients, we would talk about her friends, the people who she saw.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally there was a slave in the front yard raking in drag.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was all very fascinating, and not that it was necessarily a new concept to me, but certainly to see some of these concepts in my mind firsthand was fascinating.
What?
Well,
you mean like a slave or something like that?
Yeah, you hear about dominatrixes having slaves, but... You don't actually ever see them.
So, I mean, to be immersed in that, so to be immersed in that world is really what you're saying. You were kind of really there on a first-hand basis.
Yes.
Yeah, to see it all close up. Yeah, I could see that being dramatic.
Yeah.
So, and that was new to you, and was that very different from anything you experienced in your life beforehand then?
I don't know. It felt natural to me.
It felt natural, but did it feel natural in like kind of a new way?
I was I was 26 and I was just
right.
Like,
no, but some people never get there. You know, yeah. Some people have no interest or yeah. don't, it wouldn't cross their mind. Did you feel like, did you get a feeling of, oh, this is who I am sort of thing?
You know, or it was who I was, mm-hmm. you know, I'd say that.
Did you feel like you found yourself sort of?
I don't know about finding myself. I think it was more of a phase. You know, I mean, there's definitely remnants of that in me today.
What I'm curious about is if it was the actual sex or just the open-mindedness and the possibility of sex in life. The like, did it open you? Was, you know, and I have no idea. Like, was it?
She opened me in a big way. She was also a licensed hypnotherapist as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might have been a cover for taxes. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. But
did she hypnotize you?
She actually, we did sessions. And I, mm-hmm. you know, this is sort of, I think this is like the last phase that I had where I was like processing all these emotions. I was going mm-hmm. through a breakup and she's like, look, I can see what's going on in your life. Let's do some hypnotherapy sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And they that was helping me work through and move through my pain at the time. You know?
And when you say your pain, what do you mean?
Well, I'm, you know, I had just broken up with a girlfriend again of 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little bit lost, you know, as mm-hmm. to what I wanted to do with my life and where I wanted to go.
Mm-hmm. Did you get some kind of stability from being in that relationship that you then had to, you know, replace sort of thing?
Wait, which relationship?
The breakup, the Iranian girl.
Oh, no, I think we were ready.
Right.
Her and I were just, we had sort of mourned the breakup already.
But anyway, there was a void.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there was a lust for adventure, really.
Right, right. I can imagine.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And you went for it full force.
Oh, yes.
Right? Mm. So, oh, yes. So you're remembering.
Yeah.
Those are, if you want, I can leave the room and you can, you know,
no.
Whole station.
I mean, the radio show would be boring then. So.
I don't know. I think you could make it interesting at this point.
Okay.
I'll leave it to you.
Yeah.
So anyway, so.
I'll tell you one really dirty detail.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, I told you that she was. That I was topping her, and one day she was being a bad girl, of course, as submissive does. And so
mm-hmm.
I told her if she didn't stop defying mm-hmm. me, that I would make things very hot for her.
Hot.
Mm-hmm. And she did not stop defying me. So I went and I got some hot sauce,
mm-hmm.
and I put it on my nether region and started fucking
on yours.
Her.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, how was that?
I mean, you know, when you're in it, you're in it.
So that's like pain and pleasure kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's way past my sexual pay grade, I'm going to say that.
It's past mine now, too. You know, but
really? You couldn't picture doing it now?
No, not at all. But, you know, there was paddles and black and blue and bruises, but only in places where, you know, what you wouldn't be seen in public.
Right.
It was all very professional, precise.
Yeah,
amazing.
I mean, it's a great... I'm sure. I mean, I've been, you know, I mean, it's not, I mean, I'm familiar with stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's a great to have all those kinds of experiences. Mm-hmm. Must be a great toolbox to draw from as a creative person.
It certainly was.
And is that how you're kind of seeing it now? That's what I'm getting.
I think more than anything, what I got from her was sort of a launching pad into the next area of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'd
mm-hmm.
say that as far as kink goes, that was certainly the climax.
Mm-hmm.
And she just was this fascinating person. And I think mm-hmm. a lot of it had to do with the hypnotherapy to allow me to work through this and to, you know, move forward mm-hmm. and to achieve my dreams.
So it was kind of cool instincts that whatever led you to her
mm-hmm.
Was kind of a developmental area for you.
Yeah.
So absolutely. That was like good instincts on your part, no?
Well, thank you. I feel very lucky, very blessed to have met
yeah.
her.
You're in touch with something.
Yeah.
So did that relationship end?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you guys are still friends. But...
She found somebody and ended up becoming monogamous with
mm-hmm.
him.
How was that for you? Or
I was very hurt.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that wasn't, you didn't see that coming?
No.
Were you surprised by that? I mean, monogamy isn't the thing that I would guess you know, it isn't the first thing. No, it's not like the first thing that, you know, you'd think, oh, she wanted to be monogamous, so she broke up with me. Like, that's not what would come to mind.
Yeah.
I mean, she, maybe you helped her get to that phase because maybe you appreciated her in a way that some of the other men hadn't appreciated her, and so she, it might have been healing for her. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I honestly, the book that she went on to write was about that relationship and that she embarked on. And he was just, he ended up being a very controlling individual from what I understand. You know, she wrote a letter to Dan Savage and it was published and I read it and I'm like, oh, so that's what happened with that guy.
Oh, and, really? That's interesting.
Yeah. So he was very controlling.
What happened?
He asked her to be monogamous and to quit her practice.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, she did. But then,
it didn't stop there.
Well, yeah, to keep a story short, they broke up after a year and a half. And then mm-hmm. she found somebody and really mm-hmm. settled down. And that's when mm-hmm. she got married and had the twins.
Right, right. Yeah. Does she seem happy now?
Yeah.
Do you think it's the best thing for her?
Oh, yeah. I uh-huh. keep in touch with her like every other month or something.
And is she still a dominatrix or has she
no,
given that up?
She's given it up.
She's a mom.
Yeah, she's a mom and a writer. So
mm-hmm. And a writer.
Yeah.
So how was that when she broke up with you? How did that, what was that like?
Well, I had no idea it was going to hurt so much. You know?
Let me just do a station ID because I just want to remind people that I have to. I mean, I want to. I want to hear the story. So stay. This is a good break because they'll stay tuned. So thanks for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, which is the best radio station in the Western Hemisphere. Now's a good time to donate money to anything having to do with free speech. So go to our website, www.radiofreebrooklyn.com. And if you want to call in and you have something you want to say, please do, 718-928-9732. Thank you. So what was it like when you guys broke up? Like, tell me about it. What happened? How'd that feel?
You know, like, I tried to stay in her life, and she said no. And so that was it. We cut ties. And I actually booked a one-way ticket to Iceland.
Oh, wow. Why Iceland?
It was actually by accident.
So, yeah, because you never know. You know, you could take a wrong turn and wind up in Iceland any day.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I almost went to Iceland last night.
I know. Yeah, no.
But I wound up in... Don't even get me started. I just have to say, I wound up like a 10-minute drive turned into it. Almost an hour with a guy who had moved here from Tibet who was learning how to drive a cab, and that's all I'm saying. But
yeah,
and I was trying to. I mean, God bless him. So so what happened? Were you you were really upset, right? How'd you process that?
I mean, it was I accepted it. I wasn't that like heartbroken. I mean, mm-hmm. I just didn't see it coming. It was a bit of a mm-hmm. shock, but you know, at this point, I'd sort of.
Because you weren't monogamous, like you didn't have like real expectations for a future.
No.
Okay.
She was 34 and I was 26. You mm-hmm. know, like
yeah, you didn't think like this is it. This, you knew what it was.
Yeah.
You saw it for something else. What it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how did that affect you? You know. So keep going.
well, I would honestly say that she was the catalyst for going to Iceland. You know, there was sort of the animosity between my ex and I and unplanned travel and you know,
right.
me having this wanderlust, you know. So it was very symbolic of me attempting to meet my needs, you know. And so I was actually at work one day when my friend was showing me pictures of Iceland. And she meant to go to Facebook, but she accidentally typed in Icelandair. And I was like, why'd you do that? And she's like, oh. And I went back and I looked and tickets were $300.
Wow.
Direct from Denver. And I was like,
wow.
I think I'm going to buy a one-way ticket.
Wow.
So I did right then and there.
Wow.
It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what happened? You went to Iceland?
Yeah, I spent 2 months there. And... I mean, I ended up going on to other locations, but I think Iceland was probably the most important bit because I floundered around. I basically landed with a 1 week stay at an Airbnb and then ended up traveling the island. I got in touch with an artist residency you needed to apply for about 9 months in advance and actually ended up, they had an opening.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So... took this opening at the artist residency, paid $500 for the month, which is a fucking steal for rent in Iceland, mm-hmm, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And
sounds great.
Oh my gosh. And traveled around, met some really incredible and lifelong friends, and even met my girlfriend, my ex-girlfriend of 2 years.
Wow.
On that trip.
Wow.
She was traveling through Iceland, and we met each other on the streets.
Wow, so romantic.
Yeah.
And was she from New York?
She was from Sydney, actually. Sydney, Australia.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did you guys live in New York? She moved. Did you guys, when you left after 2 months, did she come back with you?
I'll keep that short.
Short.
But we met each. I ended up going on to Paris, and she spent 24 hours with me there on this like crazy,
wow,
like sex filled, like not
wow
leaving the house. You know.
Oh man, that's just, the book I want to read.
You know. Then finally, like needing a break from sex and getting a bottle of wine and going down by the canal. And I had no idea that this girl would be this meaningful to me. Mm-hmm. And I went back to Denver, and we were in Denver literally when like a 400-year storm landed. We were going to go traveling together in the mountains, and mm-hmm we were stuck inside for 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
She got really bored and booked a ticket to Detroit. She's like, look, I'm traveling. I don't want to be inside.
Mm-hmm.
And so she booked this ticket, went to Detroit, and felt so guilty about leaving me.
Mm-hmm.
I was so broke after 3 months of travel. She's like, look, I'll buy you a ticket out to New York because it's going to be my birthday in a couple of
mm-hmm
weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, are you sure you want to pay for that? And she said, yeah, I don't mind. And so she booked me a ticket, and I went mm-hmm and spent probably one of the most fantastic weekends of my life in New York with her. We even, like, speaking of... we went to a performance one night during this whole escapade, and we were a bit drunk and walking over the Polanski Bridge mm-hmm on our way to the subway to take it back to Queens when mm-hmm I popped her over this gate on the control tower, and we had sex on the Polanski Bridge.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. So it's kind of like this epic moment, and I actually told her in that moment that I loved her.
Oh, wow. It's so beautiful.
We'd known each other for 3 or 4 months, but most of it was over text. We'd really spent 2 weeks in the same room together. And she didn't quite reciprocate it until we got back to where we were staying when she said, I love you too.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, wow. Well, good for you putting yourself out there.
It was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of movie-like.
It was very movie-like. Well, X-rated movie.
So, so you wound up staying in New York then?
I went back to Colorado, and she went back to Sydney, and I remember leaving on the bus and watching her stare at the bus that it drove away. She was so heartbroken, I could tell.
Mm.
I mean, you know, we may not ever see each other again after this magical weekend in New York together. And she, a month later... got a visa.
Oh, wow.
To come and live with me in New York.
So you must have been thrilled, right?
I was very thrilled. Mm. Yeah.
So that must have been great when she came.
Yeah.
For a few months.
Yeah.
For like a day or two.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, she lived with me in New York for a good solid 2 years.
And how was that?
Well, to date, it was the best relationship of my life.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it was really good.
It was fantastic, yeah.
Was it like, oh my, when she first arrived, was that like, oh my God, I can't believe you're here? That must have been incredible.
Yeah.
When she did you meet her at the airport?
No, we met each other at the train station. And
must have been incredible.
It was, we had just been talking for 3 hours a day.
Oh,
never
God.
Running out of things to talk about.
Oh, wow. Girls are going to love this movie.
Yeah.
So it was a good relationship for 2 years. And when did it end?
Well, and actually, I should sort of preface this by saying, you know, a month before she had arrived, you know, I said to her that I wasn't quite done exploring my sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I want to be in an open relationship
mm-hmm.
to her. Now, mm-hmm. there's no sort of lack of love from my part, but I was seeing other women during this time.
Mm-hmm. When she was living with you.
Yeah.
And when you say seeing women, is that women regularly or just like having sex with women occasionally? Were there particular women that you were dating as well?
Yeah, there were. There was one or two women that I saw regularly. Yeah.
And but she knew that?
Yeah, she did.
And she was okay with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have doubt, but that's just me. Maybe that's my narrow-mindedness. I don't know.
Well,
what do you think? Do you think she really was genuinely okay with it?
Yeah, and I guess maybe that's...
This is what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that was really just you wanting to explore sexuality, or if there was some sort of fear of intimacy. You didn't want to put all your eggs in one basket. Like, I'm just not sure.
Yeah, that's...
If you were playing it safe, or if you really... And I don't know. You know, I don't know. Maybe just a horny young man. Just didn't want to shut the door on things. I don't know.
I know. I tell this really,
monogamy
really romantic.
is kind of unnatural anyway. I get it. Yeah. But so anyway, but she was cool with that, or that wasn't a problem in your relationship?
Not in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And then what happened?
Well... yeah, I mean, I tell this really romantic story about being reunited with my one true love, and then all of a sudden I'm like, wah, wah. Like, hey, let's be in an open relationship. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, sure.
And whatever. How long did that take? Did it take like a week or two, a month or two, 6 months?
To what?
Till you declared let's be in an open relationship.
I mean, I declared it before she even came.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's safe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah. No, all there right. There was no lack of honesty.
Okay.
It was all...
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I respect that.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was okay in the beginning, and then...
Yeah, she was all on board. Like, we had a really great sex life. She wanted to explore this idea. Mm-hmm. She was happy about it.
Did she have sex with other guys?
She didn't, actually.
She could have.
She could have.
Right.
Yeah.
But she didn't.
She chose not to. Yeah.
So, yeah. So how did it progress?
Well, I mean, in the beginning, she loved hearing all of the stories.
Oh, yeah. I could see that.
Yeah. She's like, oh, my God, what happened? And I would tell these stories while we were having sex.
Yeah.
You know?
That's hot.
Yeah.
I think that's hot.
Mm-hmm. And she was into it, you know? It rolled well, and I thought, oh, my gosh, this is incredible. You have this amazing ability to sort of interface with me on this deeper sexual level, you know, and I thought that we had something kind of special in that way. You know, she's letting me explore myself within this relationship while I think she felt like we were very much in love.
And there's a sense of intimacy in the, it seems, because you were sharing your sexual experiences outside the relationship with her, but you mm-hmm. weren't sharing your sexual experience with her outside of the relationship. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was always very emotionally loyal to her, regardless of who I was seeing.
Right. Yeah. And were the girls okay with that, or did that ever become... Like, were you mean to those girls? That's what I'm wondering. Was it hard on them?
I consider myself to be... considered myself to be ethically non-monogamous. So mm-hmm. all parties involved are consenting and are aware
okay,
of the
so
circumstances.
They were, yeah.
Yeah.
And they were, that's their choice. I got it.
You know, those mm-hmm. are the things that I learned from dating that dominatrix, you know, ethical mm-hmm. non-monogamy and, you know, sort of being honest and upfront. Mm-hmm. The problem is truth can hurt sometimes.
And also people think they can handle things or they're okay with things that they're not. But that's
yep.
also not your problem.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can't be responsible for everybody but yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was okay in the beginning.
Yeah, it was.
And then it wasn't.
Well.
Or what happened?
Yeah. I mean, you know, she was always very supportive, like
mm-hmm.
throughout the entire relationship,
mm-hmm.
but she wasn't very good at communicating with me how much it had eroded her in the end.
Ah.
You know, and I think that was the mistake that I made, was just not really paying attention or, you know, being as serious as I should have. I mean, it was the most magic and happy 2 years of my life,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So she acted like everything was okay, and she probably in her mind believed it was, but in a certain way, it was upsetting her.
Yes. Yeah.
And how did that come out?
Well, it did.
I think that's really, I've talked about this on these shows before, because I do think a lot of women, like, you know, I think it's just biology that men are, you know, that women feel like they're supposed to, like, be cool with, like, you know, any kind of, you know, open sex and stuff like that. Mm. And if they are, they are. That's great. But you don't have to be if you're not. And I think a lot of women put pressure on themselves to be cool about being more open sexually than they are. I mean, it's biology.
Yeah.
We have to have babies and settle down. That's nature. But so I just want to give a shout out to, you are a cool chick, even if you want to be monogamous.
Mm-hmm.
You can still be cool and be monogamous. It's okay.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, there's no pressure not to be, right?
I would personally think that... I wish that she had been more open and more upfront and more communicative with me about her feelings.
Like, yeah. So how did it come out? What happened?
Oh, man. I mean, that's... And see, this is the part where I'm just so fucking heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
2 years into the relationship, you know, she has her ticket back to Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the reasons at the time were, you know, she had been working this job that was just working her to death. I mean, mm-hmm.
What was she doing?
She was working in the 3D scanning and printing industry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it was like a graphic design related job.
Yeah, something like that.
With a lot of pressure and deadlines and clients.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I got it.
Startup, not a lot of weekends, couldn't get any time off, you know.
Right.
Like, it was killing her. She's like, look, you know, I can. She was sort of joking about how she could go back to Sydney and she could. You know, get more time off to come and see America than she could while living in America.
Probably, yeah.
And they'd pay you better, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. So she was getting used or treated shitty at work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not uncommon, but yeah. So she got a ticket to go back to Sydney because of work then?
Yeah, I mean...
You think she was... Was she moving back to Sydney then?
Well, she was. And we were going to stay together and try and figure it out. And... You know, so we actually ended up taking a month-long trip, and we went through Hawaii. My family was staying in Hawaii, and then her family was in Hong Kong on business, and we went to Hong Kong, and then we went to Sydney, and we went to Melbourne, and we spent time at this beach house with all of our friends, and it was like just this real, and that weekend at the beach house was probably the best weekend of my life, you know, and I have pictures of just the joy on both of our faces. We were more in love then at the end of our relationship than we had ever been in the whole time we'd known each other. And it had really shifted from this like puppy, you know, new love to something more solid, you know, something built on a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, she called me up like 3 weeks into me being back in America and she's like, look, I can't do this. I can't be with you anymore. I need to be free. And my heart broke, but I thought, okay, you know what? Let's give this some space and we'll figure it out and we'll keep talking. And what I, you know, later learned is that she wanted to get married to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, she had never really communicated that to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't ready, you know, when the time was right for her. And so we spent the next 4 or 5 months of our lives saying, we're going to get through this and we're going to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And then she started drifting away.
Hmm.
And I just, you know, this is sort of the coming of age part where you think something is certain and you think that something is going to happen. And that's when she cited the non-monogamy as the reason for our split and her being hurt, that she didn't want to be with me any longer. So it wasn't until 5 months, 6 months after we'd entered the relationship.
So, and you were taken by surprise, obviously. So had she ever indicated that during the relationship that she wasn't comfortable with being non-monogamous?
It was 1 or 2% of our communication.
But I mean, did you have,
There were inklings.
There were inklings. But did you Did you, I mean, it's really, I don't know. I mean, it's, it, you know, it's every, a relationship is everybody's responsibility because it's a third party, the relationship. But I mean, she did not make herself clear. Would you have been okay? Did you leave an opening for her to make herself clear? What's your feeling about it? I mean, I'm sorry that happened, and I'm sorry you guys didn't communicate, and there's a whole life lesson in there. Mm-hmm. You're a young man, blah, blah, blah. But no. So what's your feeling about it? Do you feel like you missed the signs, or do you feel like, are you angry that she didn't communicate more? Like, what's your feeling about it
all? Well, I mean, yeah, it's two-way street. You know, like, I missed the signs, but the signs were very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a very small majority, you know, like I say, 1-2% of the signals coming from her. The rest were, you tell me that story. What happened? You know, like, I'm being supportive of you.
So she was really conflicted, I think.
Yeah, well, but I didn't know.
Well, she didn't know, maybe.
Yeah, well, and
I'm thinking she didn't know.
That's a good point, actually. You know, like, she was blaming work, and she was blaming stress, and she was blaming America when there were other things that were going on.
How old was she?
She was 24 at the time.
Oh, that's really young. She's younger than you.
Yeah, she's 4 years.
So I'm guessing that maybe she didn't know.
Yeah, I think that's a really astute observation.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And
so that hadn't occurred to you, maybe, or
you know, I just felt
she
was more aware.
Were you like the adult in the relationship, in that, you know, you were in, the, you were you more like, I mean, she's a young woman from a foreign country. Were you in the position of making the decisions and stuff like that? I mean,
yeah,
that's not uncommon.
No.
For,
she, speaking of therapists, she gave me a chocolate bar with number one therapist on it one
time. I love it.
So
she kind of put you in that role, you know, where you were, she for good reason trusted you. You're trustworthy in your, I think you're a really ethical guy. I don't think that's a problem. I think that, you know, you and her both didn't, you know, it was a risky situation that just didn't work out. But I think she probably put a lot of faith in you, which kind of confused her own feelings about herself.
Yeah, sure.
So when you heard that, like, so what was that like? How did you feel, or how did you respond to that?
Well, it was, you know, it was a very, our relationship had a very slow death.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very slow, painful death. Mm-hmm. And she asked for space at some point. And again, I think this is a big part of the not knowing, not understanding what that space really meant.
Mm-hmm.
And she kept telling me, she's like, I just need this space for me right now so that we can make us stronger. And I'm like, that's not how you make us stronger. I'm like, this, and my friend was telling me, he's like, that's when girls start to detach. And that was my inclination. Well, you know.
But you told her, this is bothering me now.
Mm.
You told her, you said, if this is what you said, that's not how you make us stronger. So what you're saying to her is, you're wrong.
No.
I don't agree with, I mean, but I mean, that's there, like.
That was juxtaposed to the fact that she had told us we would make it through whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there was mixed signals mm-hmm. coming from her, and I wanted to believe the signals that were saying we were going to make it through this and we were going to be strong.
Yeah, and it's also like a long-distance relationship, which puts a whole other level of, like,
10,000 miles.
puts a whole other level of, like, just miscommunication by nature. You know, unavoidable.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you were upset by that. I can understand that.
Yeah, I was heartbroken. And at some point, she, you know, we would talk about the people we were seeing, you know, but
mm-hmm.
at some point she's like, oh, there's this guy and he's really into me. And funny side story, they made out one night and then they went back to her place and had sex for 45 seconds. And then he says, I'm a 30-year-old, or was a 30-year-old virgin until 45 seconds ago.
Awesome.
So
that's a public service thing.
I know. That's what I said. She told me, she's like, look, if he told me that up front, I wouldn't have done it. You know, and I almost kind of.
Smart guy. The guy's not an idiot.
Well, it was for a long time.
Okay. So we have 5 minutes left, and before we go, I want to see how that experience has affected you going forward. So I want to know, like, have you dated anybody since, your feelings about monogamy, and where you are today, and how that's all affected you?
Well, I'll wrap it up.
Yes,
by finishing with
sure.
the 30-year-old virgin.
Yeah.
They broke up because he was too needy at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I, in October, had booked a ticket to go see her for a month in January to try mm-hmm. and work things out.
Mm-hmm.
And a month before I got there, she started seeing the 30-year-old virgin again.
Ah.
And they were dating. She said it wasn't serious.
Mm-hmm.
And she wouldn't so much as kiss me when I got there in January.
So she didn't tell you that before you came?
She did, but...
You didn't believe it, or you couldn't... It was hard to believe.
I mean, we were madly in love. Like...
So she told you before you came.
Yeah. Well, after I bought the ticket, though. I bought the ticket.
All right. But you went there with knowing that she was going to be, she was dating somebody and it was monogamous. Did you know that?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, she said she wasn't, it wasn't serious, but, you know,
Well, I mean, I can see, you know, you guys were really had a meaningful relationship
yeah.
and I can see, like, you know, I can see why you would have, you know, not, you know, I can see why you did what you did. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But that was still not quite black and white either. That's all I'm trying to say.
When she told me this, I mean, I had been thinking about monogamy for, you know, 4 months or something at this
mm-hmm.
point. Like, let's make this happen, you know. And
being monogamous
yes,
with her.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That mm-hmm. was my lesson in all of this,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when she told me this, I had just the worst weekend of my life
mm.
where I realized I wanted to marry her.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah.
That's harsh.
Yeah.
I wonder also if the fact that the guy was a virgin, if there was something about his simplisticness in sexuality is something that
the opposite.
She wound up needing because it was just too much, too complicated for her to handle with you.
I think
she might have gone the other way.
I think that's also a very astute observation as well. Yeah.
So, don't compliment me. You know I hate that.
I'm sorry.
So
most sincere apologies.
I'm painting about that. You've seen it, haven't you? No.
You'll have to show me.
My shrink says compliments make me psychotic.
So
anyway, We're all learning here, and you know, you learned, she learned, you know, you guys are young, there's a lot of time to develop, and you know what I mean? This
mm-hmm.
is all, this is like a great thing to be experiencing at your point in life, because it will inform your decisions later that are more going to have more consequences. And also, a lot of people never really explore anything and then never really find out what they want and can't even make it. Don't learn enough to make informed decisions.
Mm.
So 2 minutes, really one. So what's your feeling about monogamy now? That's what I really want to know.
Well, you know, I'm getting to that age. I hesitate to say biological time clock.
And how old are you? 30.
I'm 30.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there was another woman that I wasn't ready for last year. And she won't see me because I went to Australia, and I want to desperately see her. And she actually wants to get married and have children. And it makes me sad that I don't have this sort of, I've missed out on this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I have come to realize what I want in life. And that is a partner, a lifelong partner. And
mm-hmm.
that I want to do the work on myself. And not saying that open relationships can't work, but finding the person that an open relationship would work with for a lifetime is like your dating pool just gets like infinitely
mm-hmm.
smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I am not someone who is afraid of intimacy. I love
mm.
it.
Yeah, it seems like it.
I love it. I love
it. Dr. Lisa gives a shit.